heart for a while. The great Warren Zevon. Geez, I just realized that we're not starting off on a happy note right there.
That's all right.
It's a beautiful song. I mean, it's a beautiful, great song. But anyway, Warren Zevon would have been 71 tomorrow. And every year, a band called Androgynous Mustache has a Warren Zevon birthday bash. It's the, I can't believe it's 8 years. Mm-hmm. 8 years. And it's happening at Space in Evanston. And that's tomorrow night, Wednesday. And from Androgynous Mustache, we have my good friend Chris Anderson and my friend Charlie Short. Hi, guys.
Hello. Hey.
Welcome.
Good to be here.
Good to see you guys. I haven't seen you in a long time. I don't go out anymore, so that's why I don't I don't see anybody anymore.
Once a year is fine here, man. Yeah.
So, how you guys been? Chris, how are you, man?
I'm doing very well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What else has been going on with you?
This is good. I lift weights a lot.
Wow. Yeah. I can tell, man. You're buff. You're a monster.
That's how I prep for this show.
Prep for my show?
Yes.
I thought maybe you meant the Warren Zevon show.
No,
this show. Yeah. You just want to be, ripped when you're on my show. Let's get everybody background. You've been playing music for a long time. Mm-hmm. And tell everybody how you got started.
In Chicago or in general?
Just in general, when you first started, when you wanted to play music, how did that all start for you?
It was really, you know, my parents. I mean, I have two older brothers, and my parents were very adamant about, you know, you can play ice hockey, you can ballet dance, you can learn the tuba, but you're going to be busy, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And not over the top, but, and so all three of us learned musical instruments. I started out playing the piano,
mm-hmm.
And then, learning piano, coming along, doing pretty well. And then when it came to theory, I just did not have the discipline to do it.
Yeah.
And I completely blew it off.
Yeah.
And,
well, where are you originally from?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And I regret it. I mean, like almost every day, like, why did I give up the piano? And I wanted to play the drums, and I like I've said before, I made makeshift drum sets out of textbooks. In the sixth grade, because I wasn't reading them, and just like, well, this sounds good.
You don't want to have them go to waste.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And finally convinced my parents to buy me a drum set.
That's how it started. Yep. Charlie, what about you, man? Were you originally from here?
I'm from Evanston.
Yeah, you're from Evanston.
No, I got to get closer.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good. If you get closer, you're going to be Michael Winslow from Police Academy. So,
I'm originally from Evanston, and I started playing. I wanted to play the bass when I was 7 or 8.
Was there a reason why you chose the bass?
Yeah, well, Paul McCartney.
Ah, well, that's a reason. Right there's a reason.
And
yeah.
The guy who came to our school, he played bass for George Duke and for Al Jarreau.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So he and at the time, he was just an orchestra teacher, and he was awesome. And he played that. I was like, that sounds amazing. I want to do that.
Yeah.
And so I had this little kid bass, and I played it, and then I got an electric when I was like 11, And at some point, I was like, "Oh, I'm never going to stop doing this."
So it was bass from the get go.
From the get go.
Now,
yeah.
I mean, you also play guitar.
I play drums. I play piano.
Right.
Yeah, and taught myself.
And now, Evanston, and you've been here the whole time. Did you go into any other cities or anything, or no?
No,
just stayed here.
I've been back and forth between Evanston and Chicago for my whole life.
For your whole life.
Yeah.
Awesome. How did you guys meet? Well, I mean, I know everybody that's in the band. You know, I mean, Chicago is a pretty tight-knit musical community. I get a bunch of musicians in here, every couple of weeks we have musicians in, and they all kind of know each other, and we all kind of, oh, you're in that band and this band. How did you guys meet and get together?
I think it was back to Nevin's Live days.
Yeah.
There was a music venue that I managed in the early 2000s called Nevin's Live, which is a subsidiary of Tommy Nevin's Pub that... And you students like to loot, apparently.
But let's not get into that, right? No, let's not get into that.
And
go Cats.
And And I was in a I was in a crew called the Delafields.
Yeah.
And Charlie was in
the Cutters.
The Cutters.
And Cutters.
Yeah.
We did shows together. I booked his crew a couple times, and then we just kind of were always playing shows together. And then he was in the Websters. Mm-hmm. After that, Delafield's Websters played a lot of shows together.
Yeah, they did.
And then I think the Zevon thing.
Yeah, that's how we started playing.
Started playing full time, where Reggie's, which still, I think it's the last Thursday of every month, Reggie's Music Club down on like 22nd and State.
Yeah.
The last Thursday of every month has a classic album night, and we'd always put different crews together to do different albums. I said, hey, man, let's do Excitable Boy, and I recruited a crew of guys, Charlie being one of them, and it kind of went from there, and we had such a blast playing together.
Yeah.
It just kind of went from
there. And we mentioned Excitable Boy turns 40 this year.
Yeah. Just a few days ago.
I mean, just it's insane that it's 40 years. And I vividly remember when I got that record. Well, we can talk about that because we got a break. Yeah. All right. And Chris Anderson is here. Charlie Short is here. And they're going to pay tribute to the great Warren Zevon, who should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame but isn't. It's the 8th annual Warren Zevon birthday bash at Space in Evanston. We'll talk more about that. And we're going to hear a live song from Charlie as well right after we take a break for the news. Such a great song. Such a great album. That's Warren Zevon, and the 8th annual Warren Zevon birthday bash is happening tomorrow at Space in Evanston, 1245 Chicago Avenue. A really amazing place to see a show. Two members of the band, Androgynous Mustache, will be performing all those great Warren Zevon songs. Chris Anderson and Charlie Short are live in studio. Welcome back, guys.
Hey, Nick.
All right. Hello. As we mentioned just a few days ago, it was the 40th anniversary of Excitable Boy. Which I guess a lot of people consider it to be Zevon's best album. I think there are others that come close, but I maybe Warren Zevon. I would say that Excitable Boy might be my favorite.
Although, I mean, it has the most hits.
It does, sure. But I mean, I like the first one a lot too. The first album is amazing, and I don't know. He just ruled. but I remember specifically when Excitable Boy came out, and as you guys know, I'm a ridiculous horror movie fan. And so as a kid, I watched, the first Fenguli, and I watched Creature Features, and I grew up watching the Universal horror movies, and I grew up loving the Hammer horror movies with Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee, and all that stuff. So I loved horror movies, and I remember in the car with my dad hearing Werewolves of London and going, what is this? This is really cool. It's got a werewolf in it, even if it's not about werewolves. But I was like, yeah, there's werewolf. And so I got the record, and I immediately dove in. And what appealed to me the most, because that was the first Zevon record I got, was Excitable Boy. And then I went back to the first. But what appealed to me the most was his incredible sense of humor as a songwriter. Like, his songs are deeply funny, and they're also political. They're great love songs. They're great songs about relationships and tragedies. But there's a real sense of humor throughout a lot of the stuff that he writes. I mean, like this song we just heard, it's hilarious. Right. Excitable Boy is about a crazy person, and it's hilarious. Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner has the funniest final line in song history, and so that just really appealed to me, and I just fell in love with that album and listened to it over and over and over and over and over again. So what was the first exposure you guys, Charlie, what was the first exposure you had to Zevon?
For sure it was, hearing Werewolves of London on the radio.
Yeah.
An Excitable Boy and Poor Poor Pitiful Me, and yeah, it's that he's like the sense of humor guy, and I'm a Who guy as opposed to a Zeppelin guy. Sorry,
that's okay.
But having that exposure to sort of humor that maybe it's the sort of the secret jokes that are in songs.
Yeah,
and certain kinds of like John Lennon would do that sort of the sly stuff. And
yeah,
but certainly Pete Townsend and Zevon's like, he's 100%.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, but yeah, and then when we did the Excitable Boy tribute 7.5 years ago, that was the first time that I had heard more than the hits. And certainly, like, the I'd heard The Wind and a lot of the other radio hits, but to dive into an album and not really have the kind of exposure, it's great, because it's like, because I love to get into a whole artist.
Oh, sure.
And there's so much, like you said, there's so much great stuff.
Yeah.
And he was writing great songs. I mean, people look at The Wind, they look at Excitable Boy, and then there's the hits in between, but those records all are amazing. There's every song sounds good. Every song has, has lyrical content that just hits hard. And as we sort of slowly ignore some of those 80s drums and synths and listen to the songs. There's a lot of artists that have great songs in, you know, in the mid 80s that are, you know, have the crazy.
Yeah, well, they, everything sounded like that in the 80s. That was just the way songs were produced.
But, you know, but and I think that there's a whole generation of people that are my age that are, you know, approaching 40 that are kind of like, oh, that music is, you know, whatever, because it has the gated drums and it's
right.
It's funny and it, you know, it, the songwriting with Warren is there.
His you know, his output in the 80s was strong though.
Yeah.
I mean, Sentimental Hygiene is a phenomenal record.
It's amazing.
And it's, I mean, and that's what, 86, 87, something like that?
87, yeah.
87. I mean, and that is a that's some of his best work.
Yeah.
Detox Mansion, yeah. For God's sake.
Yeah. That's something we revisited before we put the set together.
Was Sentimental Hygiene?
Was Sentimental Hygiene.
Yeah, we're opening with Detox Mansion.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
How about you, Chris? What was your exposure to? How'd you get into Zevon?
My first exposure to Warren Zevon was seeing Excitable Boy, the record, in my oldest brother's record collection. I'm like, who is this weird-looking dude with these weird glasses? This is so strange. I mean, keep it away. And I was like 7 years old looking at this. It was kind of scared me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, growing up as a teenager and listening to, you know, the songs on Excitable Boy, and then getting into Sentimental Hygiene and then Mr. Bad Example, and then delving back into his more sentimental work.
Yeah.
And just this humoristically morbid way of looking at life.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I don't think you can really digest it as a very, very young person.
No. No, you can't. I mean, I was 12 when the record came out, pushing 13 when Excitable Boy came out. So I was right on that edge. It was the perfect time for me to discover Warren Zevon. It really was. Mm-hmm. And I dove headfirst. And one of my favorite songs by Zevon is do you guys do a Back's Turned?
No, we're not.
No, we're not doing that one.
You're not doing that one?
We do it.
Nighttime at the Switching Yard.
No, yeah, I know. Nighttime at the Switching Yard. Get into that a little bit later on with Nighttime at the Switching Yard.
But we have 30 songs. We have 30 songs.
Back's Turned is one of my sentimental favorites. That's all. I absolutely adore that song. But yeah, no, I, you know, he was just the best. And, you know, and other people did his songs, you know.
A ton of people. And still do.
Yeah, and still do. I mean, you know, I think the version that most people know of Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me is Ronstadt's version.
Yep.
Is Linda Ronstadt. Although Zevon's version is awesome, of course.
Yeah.
But Linda Ronstadt's the sort of the definitive version that everybody goes to. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the mark of a truly great songwriter when so many people cover their songs. Totally. Like if you look at somebody like Paul Williams and all these other great songwriters, when so many people cover them, that says something about how great the songwriting is. And we've talked about every year that you guys come in and that he's not been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the more pissed I get. It's insane that he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I mean, somebody wrote in and to our site and said he's the, and it encapsulates him perfectly. He is the Hunter S. Thompson of rock and roll.
Absolutely.
And it, you're right. It is a shame, and hopefully next year it'll change.
Well, those are so, I mean, those nominations are so political and they're so strategic. But at the same time, I think that gives us hope, because they always do really put, you know, you have the Bon Jovis.
See, that's the thing here.
Yeah.
That's what I just wanted to mention
here
really quick.
Here we go.
As soon as Bon Jovi was just take this in for a second.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi is inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before Warren Zevon.
Yeah.
That's not going to change. That bit of history will not change. Even when, and they better induct Warren Zevon into the Rock and Roll, that fact will not change. Bon Jovi will have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before Warren Zevon.
Hey, at least Rush got in before Bon Jovi.
When Rush just broke up. Did you hear about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
It was like, well, we're done. 41 years, we're done.
Yeah.
They just broke up.
Yeah.
They just announced it like 4 days ago. We're only together for 41 years.
Well, Neil can't play anymore.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he's got.
If Neil Peart can't play the drums anymore, you don't want Rush.
You're not messing around.
No,
but I think that there's with getting in with people like Nina Simone getting in. I think on the opposite end, you actually now have a better chance I think now that they're putting these very poppy acts in, they're being countered by pretty interesting. I think that now we have a hope for getting the Replacements in.
Yeah, there's another band that needs to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
When Nirvana and Pearl Jam are in, and the Replacements.
Yeah, I agree. That's another crime right there.
Yeah.
But again, there are certain acts that I'm really happy have gotten. Like I was thrilled that PE got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That to me was just a that was a no-brainer. And I know a lot of people are like, you shouldn't put rap acts into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. No. That's not. That's
100%. There's not enough in. I could name five or six. Yeah. You know, rap acts that need to be in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Rock and roll is about rebellion.
Yeah.
And It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back by Public Enemy is one of the most rebellious albums ever recorded.
Yeah.
And I think P.E. is rock and roll. I think that they epitomize what rock and roll should be, even if they don't play the instruments or 100%. You know. So anyway, who's playing with you guys? Who's in the band?
We have Neil Alger mm-hmm. on guitar. We have Ethan Simone on guitar. Brian Gephardt on saxophones, all reed instruments. Eddie Torres on accordion and harmonica.
Good old Eddie.
Good old Eddie. Can't have a bad time with Eddie.
No,
man.
You can't. You cannot.
And then we have Alton Smith on vocals and Rachel Drew on vocals. We have a big crew.
And Dan.
The most important instrument. Dan Engenthrone on piano.
Piano. Right. Yeah. It's a great group of people, many of whom have been on this show.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Rachel Drew's been on several times.
Yeah.
She's extraordinarily talented. Absolutely. Oh, my God. So, now, you guys did a little, I would say, for Halloween, you guys did Crowded House.
We did, we split the crew up.
Okay.
My crew did Crowded House. Charlie did Robert Palmer.
Robert Palmer?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
How'd that go? Was it fun?
It was great.
It was a blast. Those nights are always a blast.
I love playing songs that people go, Robert Palmer, and then you played all the songs. That's great. I'm going to get that record.
No, Robert Palmer's great, man.
Oh,
he was the man. Did you do any Power Station?
Yeah, we did.
Some Like It Hot?
We didn't do Some Like It Hot. We did the other one.
Bang a Gong?
Yeah, we did Bang a Gong.
Yeah.
We did Discipline of Love.
Yeah, Robert Palmer rules. You're in a Robert Palmer safe zone here.
Yeah.
I happen to love Robert Palmer, man. He's great. Crowded House, man. That's a great underrated band.
Completely.
Everybody thinks, Crowded House, whatever, 80s. They were a great band. Yeah, Crowded House is a great band. Still a great band. Yeah.
And they did a great job. You guys did a great job.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk more. Charlie, you fix guitars.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll put a little plug in for your business.
Yes.
Get you some clients.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about music. And then, Charlie, you're going to play a song for us, right?
Sure,
one of your originals?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, very cool. Let's hang out with Chris Anderson and Charlie Short. The 8th annual Warren Zevon Birthday Bash is happening tomorrow, Wednesday night at Space in Evanston. I've seen these guys play these Warren Zevon songs, and they do a great job. And you just heard the lineup of incredible musicians who are going to be there. I highly recommend that you go. All right, we'll take a quick break, and more coming up after this on WEGN. Nighttime in the switching yard. Yeah. God, I hate that song. The only bad song on Excitable Boy, and one of the few bad songs that Warren Zevon has ever recorded. That's Nighttime at the Switching Yard, which, by the way, I hope you guys will dedicate it to me tomorrow night.
We always do.
Every year they dedicate that song to me, and I hate it. And the very first time you guys did this 8 years ago, I was there, and it was at Quenchers, and it was fantastic. You guys did a hell of a job, and then you bust into Nighttime at the Switching Yard, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And you played it for like 15 minutes. I texted Scott Oken, who is my friend. I said, these idiots are playing Nighttime at the Switching Yard. And he texted me back. He's like, good. really quickly, explain Nighttime at the Switching Yard.
Well, so Excitable Boy came out in 78.
Yes.
Yeah. I think production was, we're in the heat of the popularity of disco.
Exactly.
I think he was pressured to have some sort of disco vibe song. And that's basically what it is.
Well, I just read the book. It's not just that. Yeah. That he had so many of those slow songs, like Two Legs Blues was on there, and there was two or three other songs.
Yeah.
And they gave it to the record company, and they were like, no.
Yeah.
We need something poppy. We need something snappy. And he's like, okay, you want something poppy and snappy? Here you go.
Yeah. And then you guys have dedicated it to me every year at the birthday bash because I hate it.
Yeah.
That song, I just...
Well, because the thing was, we did Excitable Boy first. We did the album.
Yes, right.
And then, the first year that we do...
The
Birthday Bash, we have a fair amount of material, but not enough for two long sets.
Right.
Well, let's just throw this in here. And that's when you saw us.
Yeah, it was the first time. And I, like, when you guys busted into it, and I went, I can't believe they're playing this song.
And it just kept going. And it became a thing.
Yes, it did.
It became solo after solo. I think you're right. The first time we did it, it was probably 15 minutes long.
You guys, every year it got bigger. Every year that I went, I think I've been to five of the birthday bashes. And it's longer every single time.
That's the thing.
Tomorrow night, it's going to be 45 minutes long.
It's going to be an entire... We're doing three sets. The middle set is nighttime.
It's nighttime at the switching yard.
I think every year... I think every year once we get to the solos and people are like, oh, this is great. Why didn't you start with this?
Yeah.
Why'd you put that first part in?
Yeah, that first part. When the solos are fun. And to watch really good musicians riff for a while, that's fun.
Yeah.
The song's ridiculous.
It is. And you're right. And like listening to Brian Gephardt play saxophone at the end, he just blasts.
Yeah. No, it's fun. Because to watch the guys on stage play those. All right. Charlie, tell me what we're going to hear, and what are some of the projects that you're doing besides Androgynous Mustache?
Well, you know, I'm recently unemployed, so I'm doing a lot of things.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's all right. It's sort of it's not bad.
Okay.
I mean, I need a job, but it's not bad. I drove Lyft today to Milwaukee. Yeah.
Wow.
It was an adventure.
Okay.
That's a whole nother show.
Yeah.
But you know, I have a business. I've been a guitar repairman for almost as long as I've played an instrument, and I worked all over town. And recently it sort of occurred to me, like, I should sell my wares. I have a website, charlieshortmusic.com, where I have some of my solo material. But also there's a little button. You can click on it and send me a message. It's actually got my phone on it, so people can I will come to them, or they can come to me.
For guitar repair,
yeah.
All right,
and
cool.
I do guitars and basses and amps. And, there are some fantastic guitar repair dudes in town. But you can't come over to their house and hang out at 7 o'clock at night. And,
and I
turn stuff around pretty quick. So
if
people want to check out my website.
CharlieShortMusic.com.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, what song are we going to hear?
We're going to hear a song called There's Got to Be Another Way Around It.
Got to Be Another Way Around It.
Yeah.
All right. Charlie Short, everybody, playing Warren Zevon tomorrow night, but here's playing his own stuff.
All right.
Is it real? Or is it something that somebody can steal? If it's so real, well, then why are you letting go of me when you know it hurts so bad? And I guess I'm almost over you. And I say, before it comes, there's got to be another way around it. Looking back, I'm losing and I can't miss. Is it right to tell you I don't love you? Got to be another way around it now. Is it right? Or is it something that you don't want to say? If it's so right, well, then why'd you have to go away? You know it hurts like hell, and I'm almost always over blue. And I guess it finally comes. It's got to be another way around it. Looking back, I'm losing and I can't miss. Is it right to tell you I don't love you? Got to be another way around it now. Well, you know it hurts like hell. Well, I'm almost always over you. And I guess it finally comes. Well, I guess you finally won. Oh, I guess you know I won. You got to be another way around it. Looking back, I'm losing and I can't miss. Is it right to tell you I don't love you. Got to be another way around it. Got to be, got to be, got to be, got to be, got to be.
Very nice, man.
Thanks.
Thank you for doing that.
Oh, sure.
I appreciate it. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. Okay, tomorrow night, by the way, you just go to, you can go to charlieshortmusic.com for music and for, if you have a guitar that needs to be repaired, go to charlieshortmusic.com.
Yeah.
And also, we have a link on our Facebook page for tickets and information about the 8th annual Warren Zevon Birthday Bash, which is happening tomorrow night at Space in Evanston. I highly recommend everybody go. These guys do a great job playing Warren's music, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you guys for coming down. Before you get out of here, I've asked you guys this before, and I always ask musicians this. What was the first album you ever bought, Chris?
Was the record by the Police, Ghost in the Machine.
Ghost in the Machine. Good choice. Okay. What about you, Charlie?
The Beatles Red album.
It's so funny how many people have said the Red or the Blue.
Yeah.
Like, that's how there's so many people. That's their starter kit for the Beatles. All right. First concert.
Was it Huey Lewis and the News?
Yeah, they're coming to Joliet Fest. Taste of Joliet. Huey Lewis and the News. Good for you, Charlie.
The Offspring.
The Offspring. There was a certain time period when that was acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huey Lewis. Where was Huey Lewis?
It was in New Mexico. I can't remember. There was two that were back to back. It was either Huey Lewis and the News or Bryan Adams, but we went to go see Bryan Adams because the Hooters were opening up for them, and we've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
I think it might
Scott
have been
Oaken went through three chairs. He busted three chairs during that.
I think that it might have been the Hooters.
He busted a chair during the Hooters and two during Bryan Adams. went through three folding chairs at the Rosemont Horizon through the chair. Busted. We all ended up crowding together on chairs because he had taken three chairs out because he was jamming. Right. So you know Scott.
Yes.
By the way, I want to mention, Chris was in a band for a play that I directed years ago called Menage a Trailer. That you guys were the Guzzlers. Mm-hmm. It was Mark and Carrie and you and Oaken.
That's exactly right.
And you guys were fantastic. It was so much fun having live music. Yeah. It was the only time I've ever directed sort of a live music thing with a show, and it was a lot of fun. I always remember that very fondly.
Good.
So, all right. All right, it's good to see you guys, man. Have a great gig tomorrow night, and I can't wait to psychically hear Nighttime at the Switching Yard. I'll see you guys, okay? Thanks for coming down. Please check out the Warren Zevon Birthday Bash. We have a link on our Facebook page. The news is coming up in 7 seconds.